Welcome to Bucket List with me, Monique Chambers. Every week, I'll be talking to different business people, artists, sports people, and other personalities about things that they've done in their life and things that they want to do. Join me and dig deep. Welcome to this week's Bucket List with me, Monique Chambers, and this week I'm talking to Lawrence Gregg, who's a financial analyst, so anything's got to be more exciting than that, surely. Now, you've actually been invited to the programme because you, as a side of your day job, this financial analyst job, you actually set up a dive school, which was one of your dream things to do. Tell us a bit more about that.
So basically, around 3 to 4 years ago, I had the initial idea of setting up a dive school, the reason being that in Malta, you cannot operate as a diving school without actually having a premises and being licensed by the Malta Tourism Authority.
Okay.
So the main aspect of opening the school was to obviously comply with the regulations and offer safe diving to everybody. It was quite a hurdle to get all the permits, to get the insurance, to get all the equipment, the funding obviously,
uh-huh.
But thanks to my parents, that was a big help. So that was one of my main goals in life, to always have my own diving school. In fact, when I was very young, maybe around 10 or 8, I used to go with my grandfather to Zurich, and used to see the divers going down. So I want to become an instructor one day.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, and every day from that day, I was like, let's do this one day, one day. My mother was very scared of even thinking that I would go diving.
Okay.
And at the age of 18, I became a dive master, and at the age of 19, I became an instructor. And then, bit by bit, I progressed to opening my own school as well, which is in Shamshiya.
Okay, so you managed, I'm guessing, to do like business plans and things because of your business background. So
yes.
That was pretty solid.
So I conducted the budget of the school, conducted projection, financial planning, to obviously see how much money I was going to actually get out,
mm-hmm.
and a budgeted amount which I was going to get back in, because obviously we all want to make a profit at the end of the day.
But there's a lot of expenses. You have to buy all of that wet gear in multiple sizes and tanks and...
Yes, I mean, it's not buying the gear which is expensive, it's servicing the gear which is more expensive, because
okay.
you have the servicing which has to be conducted every year, you have the insurance policy which is extremely expensive, you have the rent, you have the motor tourism fees, so there's a lot more than meets the eye. Once you get actually into it, then you start seeing all the fees mounting up. But obviously, when you see your clients coming in, when you see them very happy, and when they recommend you and give you good reviews, that's what keeps you going in the business, if you know what I mean.
That keeps you going through month end when you're doing some sort of sums.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. When you're seeing the amount you have to pay for the rent and everything, it keeps you going.
And is diving a year-long sport that people can participate in? Is there peaks and troughs? Do you do more business in the summer or...?
Well, you do get a lot of business in the summer, but you do also get during the winter. Currently speaking, it's very busy at the moment. We've just started summer. I mean, August will be the peak, even
mm-hmm.
September, because last year, August and September were literally crazy. But you do get some peaks as well in the winter. But obviously, we try to keep it to a low side on the winter, because we obviously need to service all our equipment.
As well.
And that takes quite a long time, because you have to take them to the manufacturer, and the manufacturer needs to obviously certify that the equipment is safe to dive with.
And that happens in Malta, or you have to send that...
No, it's sent to the agent in Malta. So every gear, so if you buy Aqualung, if you buy Maris, if you buy Scuba Pro, there's all the agents in Malta for the representative.
And how do you manage having, so it just occurred to me, all of those wetsuits in different sizes? Do you ask people what size they are before they come, or a weight or something, so that you can plan?
So,
you know, if you have a bunch of, you know, Danish people coming, they're all going to be 6'5" and above. So how do you...
So basically, with the Malta Tourism regulations, everybody needs to come to the diving center initially. So based on our thoughts, we
mm-hmm.
give them the wetsuit, and then if it doesn't fit, we try and give them a bigger one. So basically, yes, we do have to have a huge selection of wetsuits, because imagine getting, yes, as you're saying, everybody who wears, for example, size 47, that's going to be a problem, because obviously we can't cater for 10 or 20 suit size 47. So you do get the occasional group, which is...
in very tight red suits.
Exactly.
And in this weather, that must be really fun.
Yes, at the moment, we're all wearing shorties. Okay. So it's not that's not much of a problem. But when you're wearing a full suit and the full suit is a bit tight, uh-huh. it can be quite a pain in the bum to get it on.
So you can't put them on in the water?
No, you put them on the floor.
Dry. Okay.
Yes.
Of course, because it stays dry.
You can wear the wet suit, bear in mind, but... it's always better to put it on first because then you have to put on your weight belt. So there's a lot of things which need to go in a chronological order when you have to put them on.
So how long have you had your school?
It's around a year and a half now.
Okay, so it's quite embedded.
Yes.
And what have you discovered from this dream of yours versus reality?
So reality was it's nice. I mean, you get to meet lovely people, etc., etc. I mean, it is... near my dream, but you do have certain things which were completely off. For example, the amount of dedication, the amount of time it takes, especially to fill up the cylinders, to do the paperwork, to do all the certifications, it does take a lot of time, which I hadn't predicted. But at the end of the day, it is worth the time which it takes. But for example, certain things have to be in specific time frames. So if you certify a student, the certification needs to be done in 7 days, according to PADI regulations. So even though 7 days sounds a lot of time to certify people, having another job, it's quite challenging
that's
sometimes.
It, because every day you actually have your financial analyst job.
Yes, exactly.
And
so,
then in the afternoons and weekends, you're doing your dive school.
Yes, which I try to get everything in. Obviously, when I have to stay longer at the office, I have to also move everything. So it can be sometimes a challenge, especially with the timing. And of course, filling up the cylinders does take time. Washing up all the gear takes another time. Taking the equipment, for example, you do get things broken there and then. So you have to take these back to the manufacturer. And obviously, these things take more time than expected sometimes.
And do you find you have any... free time at all to think about any other things on a bucket list? Because
okay.
You're quite young. How old are you now?
I'm 23 years old.
Yeah, that's quite young to be running two things.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have a lot of things on my bucket list, which I will mention shortly.
Mm-hmm.
With regards to free time, my free time is extremely limited at the moment. I wish I'd have more time. In fact, apart from these two jobs, I'm also doing a master's in statistics.
Oh.
So...
Sorry, it sounds like my idea of hell.
Yeah. It's a lovely course, but obviously I need to give it more dedication and time, as my parents would tell you. I'm not actually giving it the amount of dedication I should, so I'm trying to schedule everything to have more time. In fact, at the moment, there are around 4 people who are training with us to become a dive master, and they take their instructor course shortly, and they'll hopefully be helping out in the shop once they are qualified instructors.
Because if they can even help doing, like you said, the tanks, the washdown, even just being around dive equipment,
I mean,
get more and more familiar.
That's right. In fact, in the last few weeks, these people have been coming nearly every day just to help me out with the ongoing and the running and the operation of all this business.
I hope they pass their courses then.
Yeah, well, they're doing very well, I can assure you.
And see if one of them could do your statistics master's as well.
I don't think that would be possible, but we can give it a shot.
I'll try anything then. So, what do you think about while you're underwater then? Do you think about the next items on your bucket list, or are you...
Okay, so when I'm underwater, basically the main focus and the attention is always on the students.
Of course.
But once we're out of the water, I do think about the other items on my bucket list. For example, the first thing on my bucket list is to obviously finish that master's by next year and start a PhD. So that is...
What's wrong with you? Please, what's the PhD going to be in?
That's a good question. Probably it's either in survival models or actuarial science are the two key factors which I want to focus on, because it will help me progress in my job as well, which are two main important things in life, because obviously without a job...
you can't have any fun.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's one thing, one major thing on my bucket list.
Mm-hmm.
Another major thing on my bucket list is to become a PADI course director.
Okay. So what does that involve?
So that's basically the highest level in the paddy industry which you can reach. So it's the highest level an instructor can ever reach.
You could do that in Malta as
no,
well?
No, it's done in two countries actually, and course is done around twice or three times a year.
How long does it take?
It's a 10-day course, so it's not a very long course, but you have to have a very high standard to get chosen for the course. So there's specific entry guidelines, you have to go for interviews, and there's only around 3 or 4 Maltese people who are a paddy course director, so I want to be part of that elite team to maybe one day I'll get there.
Put stripes on your wetsuit. So why do you want to do the course director? What difference does it make to you? You already have a school.
Okay, so basically at the moment I'm an IDC staff instructor.
What does that mean?
That means that I can assist a course director in teaching an instructor course, but obviously that means I can't teach instructor course independent of a course director. So becoming a course director would allow me to teach instructors independent of anyone else. Obviously they would still need to be evaluated by paddy office themselves, but obviously being at that level would help me to even help my students. In fact, when I do the dive master courses, I try to focus a lot on the attention they give to the students and make sure that they not reach the performance requirements, but go over the performance requirements, because we want our future instructors to be safe with their students and obviously make a good name for paddy, for SSI, and for the diving industry itself in Malta.
So I'm guessing that then people come from abroad to become dive masters?
To become instructors.
To become instructors,
yes.
Okay. Sorry.
No worries.
Drowning in all the terminology here. So they come from abroad, and there's obviously enough space in the market for...
There is quite, especially in Malta, we have 4 IEs, which means that paddy office comes 4 times a year in Malta, and they evaluate these students to make sure that they are at the performance requirement they should be to become a paddy instructor.
So when you're becoming an instructor, you're not just teaching diving techniques, it's also the interpersonal skills, the how to run a shop, how to fill a tank.
When you become an instructor, you learn various aspects. You learn about the equipment, about the environment, you learn about the psychological effects on a person, and you have to learn as well that you have to always put positive reinforcement first. When a student comes, you always have to give him positive reinforcement, even if he does something completely incorrect. You should always find something which is positive, and then you mention the negative thing for him to progress. Because if you mention the negative things first, he's not going to get anywhere, because he's going to...
shut down.
Exactly.
Yeah. I did a trial dive once 100 years ago in a swimming pool in Greece, and they just couldn't get my weights right, and I kept just rolling over and rolling, and I was doing it in German for some reason. My German actually wasn't good enough to be doing it in. And it did put me off, to be honest, because I just couldn't even get the basic setting my belt right. So
so what I suggest is you come with a dive with me and I will show you how easy it is.
I'm a pussycat, I'm very scared now, I'm very scared. So away from statistics and diving, what else is on your bucket list?
Skydiving is next on the bucket list as well. It's offered from Sicily, so I would like to have a skydive event one day. Driving a Porsche or Lamborghini is also on the bucket list.
You could probably do that, maybe not in Sicily, but you can do that in Bologna for sure.
Yes,
I think
can.
Mondello.
I mean, I'm not a crazy guy on cars or stuff, but I would like to say I've driven a Lamborghini or a Ferrari, one of those things.
Around a track, or you want to do it around the countryside? And
Around the track would be fine. I'm not too adventurous extreme then.
But jumping out of a plane is not adventurous?
That's not a problem.
No?
No.
Okay. So have you got like a timeline for those couple of things, or is it just, you know, please Santa Claus bring me a Lamborghini racetrack.
So, I'll be quite honest. So, with regards to the first two, so the PhD, I would like to start the PhD next year, assuming I get my stuff in order for my master's. In fact, I've already looked at some PhD entry requirements and stuff. I would also like to do the paddy course director course next year, because I should be getting the minimum requirements by the end
this
of the
year.
Summer.
Okay.
But obviously, you want to have more than minimum requirements, because obviously around 40 people to 50 people apply for each session, and they only take around 15 to 20.
Where do you have to travel to do this?
Malaysia, if I remember correctly. Yes, okay. And it's very expensive. The course on its own is over 10 grand. So.
And it's not just a 10-day, because I guess you have to fly a couple of days before and a couple of days after.
You have to also remember that you can't dive and fly, so you need to leave a space before diving and flying.
So you're timing this quite well, actually. So when would you finish your master's? And then?
So I'm hoping to finish my master's next year by the end of September.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just hoping, I've got these four dive masters, which I'm hoping that one of them is going to take his instructor course next month.
Mm-hmm.
So that he can start helping out, and that takes my burden off my shoulders, and I can start focusing on that master's. I hope to have the majority of them done by next year.
Okay.
I mean, obviously, once we get to next year, then new things start
to come
popping up, yes, as well. So,
is there anything that's not sort of dangerous apart from the statistics, which
does
balance out? No, in general, on your things you'd like to do. Let's say before you're 30, because, you know, you're going to have finished all of these other things quite quickly otherwise.
So, speaking about the bucket list, I forgot to mention one other thing. Mm. I want to get a house, so mm-hmm. I'm planning to get a loan, so that's for my bucket list as well, and that I want that as well by the next year as well, because obviously the earlier you plan these things, the better you can succeed.
Your financial background coming in. There you go.
We have to remember the time value of money.
Mm-hmm.
€1 today is worth less tomorrow and even less the next year and the year after. So
don't scare me.
So you invest everything you have today so that when tomorrow comes, that €1 is not 80 cents, but it's €1.20. So we obviously have to predict and we have to see how the financial market is going to be in the previous days, but as the concept of time value of money, €1 today is going to be worth less tomorrow and the day after and the
day
after.
So we shouldn't be buying houses now, or we should?
But the market at the moment is very strong and it's only going to get stronger probably. So that's why I'm trying to do this.
Do everything now.
Do this step as soon as possible.
And there's no way you could sort of postpone perhaps the PhD? Maybe because if you finish your master's in September, then go to Malaysia for 10 days, come back, and then start the PhD? Yeah, just do everything at once, brain fry.
I mean, why would you want to wait? I mean, having a busy life is better than sitting down and doing nothing.
Uh-huh.
For example, I'll be quite honest with you. So when I go to diving, and especially when I finish late at night, I mean, last summer, I had certain days where I was finishing at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning.
Ow!
Yes, I mean, having the night dives and then filling up the cylinders, getting everything ready for the next day, it can be very, very tedious. Mm. But when I have a day off and I don't do anything, so I stay in bed literally all day, it's like, what am I doing with my life?
What a waste of a day.
So,
you can't find like a young person that wants to come and live in Malta for the summer to help with the washing down of night gear. You know, after they've been to Patcheville, they come and fill stuff, and or you have to be qualified even to...
No, I mean, if you get the appropriate training from the dive center, it's not a problem. At the moment, there are around 5 people who are helping around in the dive shop, and I mean, their help is I value their help a lot, because without them, I would probably be stuck there for another 3 to 4 hours. But obviously, I mean, we do appreciate what they do, and we do return the favor. So if they're helping us, we're obviously going to help them back.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, last Saturday, we had a group of around 25 people, and 2 people came. They got their vans as well, so they helped us kit up, get the equipment to the dive site and everything. So it's everyone gives a helping hand. And that's
you pay back in dive time.
Exactly. Our courses or something like that. But we always find a compromise. And I think the best thing in diving is the amount of friends that I've made during the past 4 to 5 years has been exceptional compared to the...
If you've done a normal hobby.
Exactly. I mean, you make a lot of friends. You meet so many new people. In fact, one of my dive buddies, he's quite old now, he's around 70-something, has dived with Buzz Aldrin, so...
Wow.
Yes, it's a privilege for him. I wish I was the person who took him, but he had a dive center before in Slima, and they phoned the hotel, and they said, listen, Buzz Aldrin's coming to dive.
Wow.
And he said, are you sure you're ready for him? I said, yeah. But they didn't actually tell him. They didn't tell the instructor it was Buzz Aldrin until 2 days beforehand.
Okay.
So then they got another 2 instructors to make everything look professional.
And did put little NASA badges on his nose?
I have no idea. I would have made something like that.
Do you still have time to go diving for fun?
Yes. Quite recently, with the helping hand of these few buddies of mine, I've had more time to go diving. In fact, I think it was last Sunday, yes, it was actually last Sunday, I went to dive the blue hole where the azure window went down. So,
what's it like down there? Tell us.
Well,
first hand, you know.
It's, I mean, you can see the whole thing, structure went down.
Okay.
There's a lot of...
Did it fall just in one piece or
no,
is it gone?
No, there's a lot of pieces. There is one big chunk, but the majority of it has been literally obliterated, so...
Okay.
It's gone down pretty well. I mean, it starts off at around 8 to 10 meters and keeps going down to over 20 meters.
So has that now become, because obviously the Azure window was a huge tourist pull, is that now something for that the dive schools use for their marketing? Like,
well,
come and see the Azure window underground, underwater.
I mean, I'll be quite honest. As an instructor, there's really nothing. I mean, there's just the rocks. But
there was just a rock before, because Game of Thrones had been filmed in front of it. Everyone was very excited about it. So I don't know if there's something, you know, you can now steal the march, because now the dive schools have this extra thing to see underwater.
Well, the benefit is in Malta, the MTA, the Malta Tourism Authority, allows us, has sunk many shipwrecks for
us.
So we've got so many shipwrecks. We've got oil tankers, we've got tugboats, we've got airplanes, we've got basically, we've even got submarines as well. So we've basically got a taste of everything. There's a lot of dive sites to see. I mean, unless you're living in Malta, you're not going to visit all the dive sites on one holiday. But you do get the occasional people, like our regular clients that come from abroad. They do one dive, they do the next dive, and they think, wait, I'm not going to take that guy to that site again because he went there once. So then you start thinking, well, where can we take him again? The Blue Hole, for example, or Inland Sea, both dive sites, the benefit of them is there's a lot of nice fish you can see over there. Unfortunately, in Malta, we are lacking a lot of fish.
Lots of tuna.
Yeah, I mean... it's quite alarming. We have literally... In fact, in front of our dive site, the amount of fish is limited, but then you might go in Chiricahua and you see a bit of fish, and then you go in Gozo and you see more fish. But again, it's very limited, the amount.
Is this the fish pens, or is it just in general the state of the sea?
In general, the state of the sea, we have a limited fish. But then you go to Thailand, you go to the Red Sea, and there's a lot of fish. And that's another thing on the bucket list. I want to go to Thailand one day soon, but it's obviously it's very expensive to go there.
Put that for a honeymoon or something like that. At least you have something to look forward to further down the line, no?
But you have to mention one important thing. You have to see if the girlfriend or the future wife would be interested in diving.
I have a feeling you couldn't marry someone that wasn't.
Well,
that or she does the accounts for you, so while you're doing the diving, she can run the back office, whatever.
Oh, well, that wouldn't be a bad idea.
You're a bit young to be worrying about that stuff now. But
well, when the VAT return forms come, when the tax forms come, it's always a nightmare, especially you see the due date, you say, oh, that's in 3 weeks' time. I was like, I haven't got time for that. Then you give it to the accountant, you say, I'll give that to the accountant. 2 weeks later, I'll give that to the accountant.
It's not just me. So even somebody that would know how to fill one up actually delays as well. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good to hear. Yeah. It's not just me doing the last minute, like, pulling my hair out. Numbers.
Yeah, I mean, I usually let that, give it to the accountant, because... Not because I don't have time to do it. I just it's better on safe hands.
Life's
too
short for forms.
Yeah,
I'm with you.
But the good thing is that as a dive school, we've got accountants who come to dive as well. So we get a special rate as well.
So, you do a sort of a barter.
Exactly.
Type of thing,
so
yeah.
we're very lucky in that sense. But my problem is sometimes we're very delayed, so I say, I'll give the form next week. Mm-hmm. And then 2 days before the deadline, oh, listen, here, I got the form. Do you mind having it ready for you tomorrow? I was like, are you serious?
I think that happens for everybody. We're all, you know, I can't sort of use diving as my excuse, but I'm always the one queuing up outside to do it on the last day. Anything else on your bucket list for maybe after you're 30? Because you've got quite a lot going on just before.
Having children, maybe. So
I wouldn't call those bucket list items. Consequences.
Well,
but anywhere you'd like to visit that's not to do with diving?
So, America.
Ah, okay.
Well, there's Comic-Con in America. Now, I'm not into comics. Bear that in mind. I'm just into TV series. So I love TV series, even though I don't have much time left for them.
Which is your favorite? Because I have a friend who acts, who is actually Maltese in one of these.
That's a difficult one. So I'll give you a list of what I watch. But I haven't been up to speed with all of them.
Okay.
But I should have been. But
was
anyway.
Zombie something?
So I see The Flash, Supergirl, Blind Spot, Quantico, Chicago Fire 24, which has recently started again. Prison Break, which was quite good. Which was
And these are all featured at Comic-Con.
Yes, most of them are.
Okay.
Big Bang Theory, very good as
I wouldn't imagine those being there.
Yes, they're always there.
I thought it was all sort of, you know, futuristic stuff.
No. They have a mix. Unfortunately, some of them have stopped as well, because I used to watch, for example, Timeless, which was a good TV series, which has unfortunately stopped.
What else, apart from, so the States, Comic-Con, what about really long-term stuff, like one day, maybe when you were a kid, you decided, I want to try that, I want to do that, learn the violin, play the piano.
I'm not a musical instrument.
See, with your maths background, though, you should be. I think the two go hand in hand.
Well, my ultimate dream job is working for one of the biggest corporate companies, maybe like EY, maybe one day in the UK. But when we're talking about this, we're meaning
that you're really old. You're 35.
In the next 20 years, probably. So nothing in the near future. Uh-huh. Let's put it that way. Uh-huh. So again, one last thing on the bucket list: the actuarial exams. Mm-hmm. Those are also something on my bucket list. They're quite challenging exams, but I think in life, if you put your mind to something, you can always achieve the end goal. Like my parents, one last thing, when I decided to go to the UK, well, it was one expensive trip. You can imagine the accommodation, the food, and everything. So they funded me a lot of money.
So you've got to pay it back?
they're good parents, so thankfully, no.
Isn't there something to do with that euro that you spend now? Now, did you use that sell on them? So, the euro they spend now is worth more in the future.
At least I was lucky enough to get the MGSS undergraduate scholarship, and I got also the tuition fees covered by SAS, which is the Scottish government. So at least that took off a burden, but obviously there was a lot of money.
But you'll be working with one of these big corporates just in time for your folks to retire, I guess. It's a perfect timing, well planned.
Well, at the end of the day, by the day I get to my retirement, we have to consider there might not be retirement anymore. I mean, in the UK, you're retiring at the age of 70, so you have to consider...
Lucky I moved to Malta then.
You have to see if we're going to ever retire at the end of the day, because we don't know what's going to happen
tomorrow. But you're going to be diving when you retire. You're still going to do it for as long as you can do it.
Hopefully, yes. And hopefully there'll be more to see, and there'll be better things to do in life by then as well.
Better things than diving? I don't believe I heard you say that. That was Lauren Screck on this week's Bucket List with me, Monique Chambers. Thank you for joining me and my guest on this week's Bucket List. I'd also like to thank Samuel Attard and Carmelo Grec, the engineers for this programme.